I'm going to tell you what Brian Gain has to do in the draft starting on Thursday night with the first round. Brian Gain needs to add two players to the core of the Texans with his picks, whether that's the second round picks, the first round pick, the third round picks. That's what he needs to do. The core of this team is Watson, Hopkins, Watt, and Clowney. And there are other guys who are more on the outer core, the Justin Reeds, McKinney's, Weeders of the world. They got to come out of this draft within 2 years. At least two guys are added to that core, given the age of some of those guys, specifically Watt and the uncertainty with Clowney.
Yeah.
Does that sound reasonable?
I guess it sounds reasonable, but it almost sounds too reasonable, Mike. I mean, shouldn't you expect that out of every guy every year? Shouldn't you, like, if I have a GM and I'm like, hey, this year only add one guy to the core, I'd want that guy to get fired within a few years if you only had one guy to the core. I mean, like, just, like, let's think of the mathematics of it. You got 22 starters on a football team plus your kickers. If you only get two guys to the core every year, You gotta have 11 years of drafts to actually have a viable team. No, those are just your starters. So, I think more than that, you gotta add two guys to the core, like guys that you're gonna want to sign to extensions, but you gotta get another two starters out of it. Like Brian Gain said, you should plan on getting four starters out of this draft.
You know what? That's a better way to put it, because I was thinking last night, like, the Texans have, like, their main core, which is four guys to me. The quarterback, Hopkins, Watt, and Clowney, that's like the main core. And then they have like a secondary, you know, guys who are not quite at that level, but people who are important for them, like McKinney, like DJ Reader, like Zach Cunningham, Will Fuller, I think even Kiki Kutsi, if and when he stays healthy. But people can, you know, quibble about distinctions between those groups of players. But the part about wanting to give a guy a second contract, that's the thing that really makes a difference. Like, Nick Martin's a guy who's heading into his fourth year, and we're not sure, do you want to give a second contract to that guy? The minimum expectation for Gain on Thursday and Friday and Saturday is he needs to find a way to draft at least two guys who they will want to give a second contract to down the road in a couple of years.
If you look at the 2016 draft, three guys potentially could have been those guys, Will Fuller, the fifth, Nick Martin, and DJ Reader. Nick Martin, man, this is a make-it-or-break-it year for Nick Martin now. Like, this is his last chance to really just show more of the promise he's shown before. He's just got to be consistent with it. He's shown a lot of promise at times. He's got to be more consistent with it. But that guy looks so out of Rick Smith, who's not around anymore. He got at least two core guys out of that. The problem becomes, all right, your Braxton Millers, your Tyler Irvins, your KJ Dillons. Like, some of these guys got to work out. You got to have some of these guys around, and maybe you do. Those are the kinds of guys that are magic because you re-sign them earlier than the other guys. Like, you re-sign them after, you know, their second year because it's a fifth rounder that turned out well, and you sign them to a bargain, and there you go. I mean, that's kind of what DJ Reader has been. DJ Reader was a fifth round pick, and he's turned into a guy that could easily be on this team for another 10 years.
I know two sounds small, two guys who you keep long term, but think of it this way. If the Texans draft one guy on the offensive line and one guy at cornerback who in 3 years they'll both want to give a second contract to, wouldn't you sign for that right now? I'd sign for that right now.
I wouldn't, because I want more. Like, I'm greedier than that.
I want more.
But I need guys that are starting. Like, there's this team, what did we just talk about? This is a top-heavy team.
Yes.
They've got stars at the top and then a bunch of question marks at various spots. I'm greedy. I want more than just two guys that I want to keep around for a long time after that. And I'll include the rookie free agents. If they get a rookie free agent that's an AJ Boye, just retain his ass this time. I'll be happy with that. So I'm great. I think Brian Gain is too. I think Brian Gain would sit you down and say, Mike, I want you to hold me to a higher standard.
Yeah.
You hear how Tom Brady likes to be coached hard? I want to be criticized hard. I want you to hold me to a higher standard than two key guys.
Can't be just the core. You need to have your satellites. You need satellites. You need guys that are on the fringe of the roster that can do things on the special team side of things. Guys who are more impactful from a returner standpoint. I want someone to be challenging DeAndre Carter for that role. There are players that you would like to see, I think, as far as extra defensive backs. I'm talking like a fourth or a fifth guy that can actually slide in and isn't the worst thing ever when they're on the field.
Yeah.
I think those undrafted free agents and those late round draft picks, again, they're not the biggest priority, because the biggest priority right now is obviously filling the tackle void and filling the cornerback void. But I'd like to see them actually find some guys that they will keep around for 4 years, and then I can actually rationalize them having him on the them on the roster for 4 years.
You know what? You need a colorful guy, too. We haven't had a Ben Jones in a while. When did Ben Jones get drafted? Like 2012?
Yeah, I think 2012.
Is there a single guy on that team that eats bugs
on
the
bugs.
Rug? Is there anybody? Who's the most colorful guy drafted?
He has a cute accent.
I don't think there's anybody really all that colorful, at least publicly right now.
Personality-wise?
It's going to be a problem. Bunch of do-gooders over there.
Can't have personality in the NFL.
You remember Antonio Smith, one of the most colorful people that ever lived.
I love Antonio Smith. He was so much fun.
We have Antonio Smith on.
That's a good idea.
Let me get him on the horn.
Jones.
I wonder what he's doing right this moment.
Let's work on that.
I bet he's slopping pigs or he's out hunting.
You know Antonio.
Whatever he's doing right now.
You know Antonio's got some very interesting stories about being on the team. I mean, he was on a team in 2016 with Brock because JJ got hurt that year.
I don't want to hear his stories. I want to hear his commentary on football and current events.
Because
anything he says is interesting.
We can get both, I think.
All right, we'll get him to, you know what we should do is have him break down the draft picks afterwards.
Okay.
After the draft, we'll have him break down the defensive line.
We got to make sure he's on top of it.
Well, he will. We'll send him videos and everything.
Okay, sounds good. Bottom line is this. For me, I'm not holding them to too low of a standard. If you go back through Texans drafts in the last 7 or 8 years, it's not easy to find draft classes where they give second contracts to more than even one guy. So I want Brian Gaine to draft enough guys on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to where in the next 4 years, they'll want to keep at least two of these guys long term. Meanwhile, Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Monday, the Astros had a disappointing series against the Rangers. Started great, scored a lot of runs on Friday. Verlander was terrific yet again. And then their two starting pitchers got absolutely hammered on Saturday and Sunday. Gerrit Cole on Saturday and Colin McHugh on Sunday. Cole maybe tipping pitches, plus some other things going on. McHugh just bad.
Yeah, Cole tipping pitches. All right, maybe you're tipping pitches, but if anything, that was maybe the best thing he had going because he had zero control. If you're tipping your pitches, but the batter still doesn't know where the ball's going, then I'm not buying into the tipping pitches is the biggest issue.
It could be both. And Cole was pretty accountable when he came to this on Saturday. I mean, he even said as much. He wasn't like, I was tipping my pitches, and therefore I give up 9 runs, and it's all that thing's fault.
Back off.
Dallas Keuchel might have.
I wasn't attacking Gerrit Cole.
Dallas Keuchel might have, yes.
But I think Colin McHugh obviously also had his own control issues, and if his breaking ball is not working too, then like that's his lifeline at these points. So I'm not worried about either of those guys just because it was such a weird day for both of them. The defense was shoddy largely because of the wind. And if they'd come out of these games without having any offensive production, then I'd worry about it. But the bats are just as good as they've ever been. I don't think they have to worry about the Rangers. If they had to face them in the playoffs, I'd be terrified because it feels like the Rangers have them figured out somehow. But this is just a couple of one-off bad performances.
Yeah,
the Rangers by two individual pitchers, and that's pretty much it.
The Rangers are BS. Elvis Andrus is hitting really well. He's hitting .355 right now. Joey Gallo has 8 home runs, but the rest of the team in the lineup, like, they're since Shu Chu, and then the rest of the lineup sitting like in the 200s. Their OPS is 779, which is like 14th. They have a team ERA of 5.16, which is 25th. They're not good. But it's annoying because they've beaten the Astros 4 out of the 6 times that they've played. I guess the one thing you could say is, well, the games are taking place in South Oklahoma, so you just, you know, throw your hat up in the air.
Are you guys a little bit blown away by a tornado. Are you guys a little bit worried that the competition in the division in the AL West will be better than we expected heading into this year?
I am not, because I think all that does is affect whether you set a franchise record for wins. And who the hell cares about that?
Home field advantage, maybe. I think it could affect home field advantage if New York eventually gets healthy. I mean, they got 13 guys on the DL, and Aaron Judge is about to, I guess, go on it. And they're still 11-10. Like, I think you want to build as big of a gap between you and New York as you possibly can, because that's likely, with the way things are going right now, the team that you're going to be contending with. The Boston figured things out. They won 3 in a row this past weekend, too.
To be fair with that question, the division was pretty decent last year. The A's were a very good team, and Seattle won a bunch of games. It's not like you're going from a bunch of 60-win teams to teams that are way better this year, but it's more just that, like, Seattle's been better than you expected. But the Rangers have been more pesky than you expected so far.
Seattle's lost 7 of 10, so yes. I feel like Seattle's coming back to earth. The Astros, I think, helps jumpstart that. And the A's, I just have a hard time buying into them ever. You know, I think that they got really hot at the end of last season, but I think while they have some good players, I'm not sure they're anything more than that. The Angels were the one team I was wondering, okay, can the Angels be more annoying than they have been in years past? I still think the American League West is essentially a cakewalk for the Astros, and it's going to help them get to home field in the American League.
And everything, like, when it's this early in the season and everything hasn't evened out, you look at just what the Astros have been doing as a whole, and their record The record arguably could be a lot better than it actually is. I mean, they don't have a guy. All their guys have over an 800 OPS. Like all their
it's ridiculous.
It's like it's ridiculous how good they are, and that in a weird way their record's almost disappointing. But that's just what happens early in the season.
If the starting pitching was average the last couple of games, they'd be coming off a sweep of the Rangers. That's how good the offense was. They are back home. They have yet to lose at home this season. Back home for 7 games, 3 against Minnesota, and then 4 starting on Thursday against the Cleveland Indians, who they swept in a division series this past year.